God tonight. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the revelation of your word and that you make it alive to us, alive in our hearts, that it not be a dead book. The Bible is a living word to us. And Lord, we ask that tonight it be a word that speaks to us concerning the one way to God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Tonight we're looking at what is the one way to God. You may think, well, that is clear in the Bible, and indeed it is. We'll see that the one way to God is the Lord Jesus Christ. However, if you listen to the world's ways of saying things and the world's ways of thinking and the philosophies of the world, you'll very soon get the idea that all religions lead to God. They all seem to be saying similar or the same type of things, and that what does it matter if you worship Allah or Jehovah or the Christian God or the Muslim God or the Hindu gods? What does it matter? Well, if you believe the Bible, you'll very clearly come to the conclusion, if you really believe the Bible, you'll very clearly come to the conclusion that there is only one way to God, not many. There is not like many sources of truth, but there's one source of truth. We're going to look at evidence biblically for that. And in fact, if you were to look at the other religions, you'll say that they're all saying things contradictory to the Christian faith anyway. And God is not the author of confusion. And that's very important for us to understand, that he would not be saying one thing and then saying another thing over here and saying to people, well, it's all going towards the one truth. So that makes no sense whatsoever. I do advise you to listen to the 5-sermon series, The Value of the Blood of Christ, if you haven't already done so, because that shows that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was the one payment that was necessary for God to accept for people to be able to have redemption and forgiveness of sins. But let's have a look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, first of all. We'll see tonight that God will not allow other gods to come in his place. And God has given this a very, very clear commandment. This is the first commandment in the Ten Commandments. So it's the first commandment that he gave to Moses and the children of Israel, and made it very clear to them the importance of one God, not many. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And there's many other scriptures talk about God being a jealous God, jealous in the right way. You know, there's many things that have a good and a bad application. For example, there's good love and there's bad love. You know, love of evil is a bad love, and love of the brethren is a good love, for example. There's many other examples we can give. There's a good jealousy. God is jealous for his people. He doesn't want them going off into error. He doesn't want them seeking after other gods. He wants only the one true God to be acknowledged, which is him. And so it's very, very important for us to see that God is an exclusive God. He's not a God that wants to share his position with anyone. There is only one true God, one powerful, almighty, all-knowing God. And that is the biblical God, who has revealed his name as Jehovah. And that's in the King James Bible. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. I'm laying a foundation now that the Bible is very, very clear that there isn't, in God's eyes, many ways or many gods that should be acknowledged, but there should only be one God that should be acknowledged. Even though there's many people that talk about their God and this God and that God, or this Lord and that way and this way, there's only one way, according to the Bible, and, well, according to the truth, there's only one way. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 5 and 6. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, notice little g there, gods many and lords many, but to us, that's to those who believe, that to Christians, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So if we are Christians, we are born again Christians, we're not going to acknowledge that the many gods lead to the one God. To us, there is but one God. There is but one Lord Jesus Christ. There's not many ways. If we were to say there's another Lord Jesus Christ, or many Christs, as some people talk, then we're saying there's many possible saviours, there's many possible ways to come to the Lord, to come to God. Now, the Bible is against that. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and it says there, to us, there is but one God, the Father. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Ephesians 4, 4 to 6. You might say, well, you know, there's a lot of people who haven't heard about the one true God. And this is the necessity for the gospel. The gospel must be preached. We won't turn to it, but the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. There's either believing or a believing not. Either trusting in what the gospel says or not trusting what it says. And there is, in fact, much opportunity for people to come to God if they but have a heart that is seeking towards the truth. Now let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. And notice what it says. Use the word one a few times here. So it's not saying many, is it? There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's not talking about water baptism, it's talking about baptism into the body of Christ, being born again. Remember the doctrine of baptisms. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Praise the Lord. Now notice it says in verse 5, one Lord, one faith. Not many faiths. In God's eyes, he only acknowledges one faith. And that's faith in the true God. In fact, if you were to go to Mark 11, we won't turn to it, but it says, have faith in God. And that's the biblical God. It doesn't say have faith in gods, or in many ways, or many faiths. It says one faith, one faith. And this is very important. All religions do not lead to the same place or same God. Okay. Very, very important for us to understand. Now, the exclusive nature of the Christian faith is because it was only Christ whose blood was shed for us. It wasn't any other religion's founder or character in it that shed his or her blood for us. It was only one God who was manifest in the flesh and shed his blood for us. Let's look at just one scripture. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. You can listen to the Value of the Blood of Christ series and you'll get the full idea about the blood of Christ, that very, very important doctrine. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Is so very, very clear to us that there was a necessity for God to purchase the church. Necessity, because the wages of sin is death. Necessity to get people out of death and into life. And there was only one way that could be done, and that was God's way. Acts 20, verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So So we see the church was purchased with God's own blood. And we cannot get around that, and nor should we belittle the blood by saying, well, you can go to God any old way or any new way, it doesn't matter. It does matter. God saw the church, which is made up of those born again, as so very, very important that he purchased it with his own blood. He was manifest in the flesh, in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and shed his blood for the remissions of sins, so that sins could be forgiven, so that sin is no longer an obstacle between man and God. And then he rose from the dead and presented his blood to God the Father, and God the Father said, it is accepted, sit at my right hand. And we know that the blood of Christ is now in the holiest of holies in heaven itself. So it's very, very important for us to see how the blood is unique. The blood of Christ is unique to the Christian faith. There's one faith, and that's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, is having faith in him and in his blood. We won't turn to it, but 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20 says, ye are bought with a price. Well, it's not just any old price. It's the one price. And that was the blood of Christ, which we see God purchase the church with. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19, we won't turn to it, but that talks about the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. In other words, it's very, very valuable. It's very valuable. In fact, more valuable than anything in the world. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? So that tells us that you can gain the whole world, all the riches of the world, all the fame and power in the world, but you can lose your own soul. So what's more valuable than the blood of Christ? See, we cannot work to get to heaven. Cannot work to get to heaven. Very, very important to see that. Have a look in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. If you were to look at all the other religions other than the Christian faith, you will see that they all centre around working for your salvation or working to get to heaven. But God is certainly against that idea, and we'll see it here in Ephesians 2, because we said before that God is a jealous God. He does not want any other God before him, including man putting themselves before him. You see, if you say, well, I can work to get to heaven, in other words, I'm a good fellow, I'll get to heaven, or I'm a good woman, I'll get to heaven by my good works, you're saying, well, I don't want what Christ did for me. I don't want that precious blood of Christ. I don't want the fact that he died on the cross for my sins. I want to come to God my own way. And see, that's rebellion. And that's the way of the world. Well, let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start from verse 4 and go down to verse 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, remember that, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that means separated from him in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved. Grace means God's favour and blessing towards us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So you can't work for it. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's very, very clear that salvation was purchased for us. We did not and could not earn our way or earn our salvation. Salvation was purchased for us by the blood of Christ and handed to us, and if we receive it, then it's a gift of God that we receive. And that's really all we need to do, is receive the gift of God to be born again. The fact is, there are many people that do not receive or do not believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died for their sins and paid that penalty of sin, and that we are redeemed through his blood. And so they have this mistaken idea that they can work for their salvation. I'm a good fellow, God will let me in through the pearly gates sort of idea. It's not the truth. The truth is that God is exclusive and that it's through Jesus Christ. And you can see that it says in verse 7, for example, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Not through anything else, but through Christ Jesus. God will show his grace and his mercy and his kindness and his love. If we don't acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, then the sin problem remains. We die in our sins, and the gift of God has never been received by that person. So it's very, very important to see this. Jesus Christ is unique. He died for us. The Old Testament prophesied many times, hundreds of years before Christ was even born at Bethlehem, prophesied many times that he would come, and many times that he would die for our sins. In fact, if you look at Isaiah 53, which was written hundreds of years before the Gospels, before Christ came, it is a perfect picture. We won't turn to it. Isaiah 53 is a perfect picture, a prophecy of what the Lord Jesus Christ would do. And this is something for us to remember. The Bible is a unique book. There is no book which has the prophecy that you could study and look at in the Old Testament and New Testament. There's no book that has a unity right through it that we see in the Bible. And Jesus Christ is unique in the Bible and in history. Unique in history. We can go through many, many evidences of that, but we don't have the time tonight. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. The reality is that there are many that are not on the road to life or the path to life. They have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, where the gospel is preached, there is liberty. Liberty comes into a society when the gospel is preached, because people get changed. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they have him as their Saviour and Lord, and they get changed. But where the gospel is shut out of a society, such as in the Islamic nations of today, you see great darkness comes in. Darkness comes into their minds and into their ways of acting as well. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." Now the word strait, you've probably heard of Bass Strait. Strait means narrow. In fact, it means very narrow. "Enter in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Well, the reality is that there will be millions upon millions who will be going to heaven. But the reality is that through history there have been billions, and will be, by the end of history, billions who have been on the planet Earth. But we know that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. If you think of the way the devil operates, he wants to make it easy for people to stay on destruction, because he will provide many reasons, many philosophies for not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll provide many reasons and philosophies for that. And so there'll be many who will accept that deception without doing a seeking of the Lord or looking into the truth in reality. And this is a sad thing, but it shows the necessity of the preaching of the gospel. Necessity of preaching of the gospel. Now, God is a righteous judge. God is a righteous God. And no man should say, well, you haven't given that person a chance to go to heaven. We should never ever make that accusation, because we don't know everything. We don't know all across history. And I dare say that God has given many, many chances right through history to even people we might think, oh, how could they possibly have had any chance? You see, we don't know everything, but God does. And He is a just God. He is a righteous God. And we should have faith that He is doing the just and righteous thing right throughout history. So let's accept that and believe that. And even though He has given man a free will, man has a free will to deny Him and to rebel against Him as well. And that is the major problem. The free will against God is the major problem. But if we have a free will, believe God and trust Him, we can go into the gate and into the way which leadeth to life, as it says there, and we can be one of the few that do find it and come into salvation. If you look at John 14, verse 6, this is a scripture we have heard many times, but it shows the exclusive nature of the way to God, the unique nature of Christ Himself, showing that He is the one way to God, and that if we are to point people to the way to heaven or to the way to God, we must point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so very, very important that we do that. We can't assume that people are going to heaven, you know, that's a good person. We should be speaking about the necessity for Christ to people. And you might say, well, oh, I've never been able to do that. Ask the Lord for help. He is your helper. And He wants you to speak. He wants us all to do so as the opportunities are presented to us. Praise the Lord. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now notice that Jesus did not say, I am one of the ways to the Father, or I am only one way. There are other ways. They're a little bit harder than me, but you can nevertheless go that way if you want. He doesn't say that, does he? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why is that? Because it was only Christ that shed His precious blood that we might have forgiveness of sins, that we might have redemption, that we could be saved. It's only Christ's blood, pure blood, that was sufficient, the sufficient price that was paid for us. And praise the Lord for that. God manifest in the flesh was the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't some other person. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a unique event in history. About 2,000 years ago, Christ born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. It was a unique time in history, a prophesied time. And we look back to that time now, and we have the benefit of the New Testament, which shows and unravels much of the mystery that perhaps the Old Testament saints had. But we have even less excuse to reject Christ than anyone closer to that time, because we have more revelation, not less. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is a unique Saviour. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's also have a look at John chapter 10, verses 7 to 11. John chapter 10, verses 7 to 11. So you can see if you believe the Bible, and there's many that don't, but there's many that do. But if you believe the Bible, then you must come to the conclusion that there is only one way to God according to the Bible. Not many ways, not many gods to be acknowledged, not many faiths, but one faith. Praise the Lord, one Lord. And notice what it says in John chapter 10, verses 7 to 11. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So we see that the way of destruction is because of the thief coming, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come that they might have life. Those that enter in by the door of the Lord Jesus Christ have eternal life. In fact, we won't turn to it, but John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's many scriptures that talk about eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. And he says, If any man enter in, he shall be saved. He says also that if you don't enter in that way, then you're not entering in the right way. In other words, there's only one door. Think of a great big wall, if you like. It represents a barrier between man and God. We'll call it the barrier of sin. Now, there are many people looking for a door to go to God. Many people, even outside the Christian faith, acknowledge that there is one God. But often they don't understand who or what he is. You can even ask some of the people outside of the church, do you believe in God? They'll say, yeah. A lot of them will say, I believe in something. I believe there may be a God. I think there's a God, yes. But they don't know much about him. And many of them are very confused. Thus the necessity for the light of the gospel to come in and for them to have light in their life and understanding. So imagine a wall, if you like, and there's only one door. Well, you'd be foolish not to go through that one door. And Jesus points to himself as the door. Now, in our society, in our Western society, there's not much excuse. You know, every year we hear the birth of the Saviour celebrated at Christmas time. Every year we hear the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ celebrated at Easter time. You know, and that comes every year. Every year. That's been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So every year there's a message. It may be a bit diluted, and there are many churches still preaching the gospel, still preaching the Bible clearly that Jesus Christ is the one way to God. Do people want to reject because, the churches are only after your money? Or it's full of hypocrites? You know, these are some of the excuses you hear, but they're just false philosophies. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Have a look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Now, this is a very, very clear scripture. Very clear scripture about salvation. And it's something we should learn, this scripture. We should know it off by heart, because it's something we could show people. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's talking about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's talking about none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What does that tell you? Is it through the name of Allah that we can be saved? or Krishna or many other Lord's names? Well, there's gods many and lords many, but none other name will give you salvation but the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's have a look at the name that gives us salvation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John 5, verse 13. Let's look at that one. This is so very, very important, and I want us to get this deep in our heart, that there is the philosophy of the world, there's the thinking of the world about this whole area, but there is the Bible, and the Bible has very clear statements. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And let's look at that name. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on what? Believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's a few things there, isn't there? We must believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he is foundational. That's why I use the word believe on. Believe on. You're building on a foundation. And there's many scriptures talk about Christ as our rock and our foundation. He's the cornerstone, the Bible says. So we're believing on the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what it says. It says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Is that saying that ye may know that one day when you die, you will have eternal life? Or is it saying right now here on earth, you can know you have eternal life? Well, it's saying right now, here on earth, you can know you have eternal life because you believed on the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So when you're born again, you have eternal life. Your eternal life or your link to God starts when you're born again, when you have received Christ as your Lord and Saviour and you've believed on him, trusted him. Well, praise the Lord for that. Eternal life starts now. And eternal life is all about being in the family of God, being in the kingdom of God, being with salvation, redeemed by the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. And so it says that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We don't stop believing on the name of Jesus Christ. We continue forever believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't got time tonight, but the Bible talks about the Lamb of God and that we should have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. Our names. And we should thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. I have been saved. I have eternal life now. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that I don't have to go through the wrath of God. I don't have to go through where sin is leading people now, but I have forgiveness. I have life. I am connected with God himself by the Lord Jesus Christ. I have eternal life. Well, let's finish in John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, first of all. John chapter 3 is a beautiful chapter, full of pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ as the one way to God. And let me encourage you to read that by yourself. Read it right through from verse 1 to verse 36. And tonight we'll just read a few verses. John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, "He that believeth on him," talking about Jesus, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Do you know it's only the mercy of God that can get through to people for them to be saved? Do you know that sin is so dark it blinds people? The Bible talks about the minds of them that have been blinded to the gospel. But God is merciful. God is powerful. God so loves people that he gave the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave And he's put into the world the church to be a witness, and people, the people of God, to be a witness. This is the way the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they're witnessing to. The Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. And so we see here that if you believe not, then you're condemned already. You see, how do you come out of condemnation? You know, what's the condemnation? Well, it's the judgment on sin. How do you come out of that? It's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says there, he that believeth on him, on Christ, is not condemned. You come out of condemnation. Sin no longer has hold on you and your eternal destiny. And if you're not clear on it still, you could go to verse 36 and you can see very clearly what it says here in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath, that's present tense right now, hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In other words, the judgment of sin stays upon that person. Sin is always judged. There's only one way for that condemnation to come off a person, and that's by believing on the Son of God, and you'll have everlasting life in that way. What have we know? What have we seen tonight? We've seen there is one way to God. God is a God that is exclusive. He says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He does not acknowledge any other gods in any way meeting up to his standards. And though there be gods many and lords many, to us there's only one God, the Father, and one Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, not many lords, many faiths, many baptisms to come to God. Only one faith, because all religions do not lead to the same place of God. We've seen that God is exclusive, the Lord Jesus Christ is unique, his pure, precious blood was necessary to purchase us. There was no other who had his blood or his purity of blood. Only him, because he was God manifest in the flesh, and God has pure blood. We notice that it's a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. And all other religions other than Christianity talk about working for salvation. We've noticed that. We've seen that Jesus Christ pointed to himself as the one way to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. So we know that he is the door. We've seen that. There's no other name except Jesus Christ. We know we can have eternal life right now, and that those that don't believe don't have eternal life. So we've seen that the one way to God is exclusive. And so very important for us not to assume that the philosophies of the world are correct, or that people are correct if they say, well, all religions lead to God, or I've been a good boy or a good girl, I'll go to heaven because of my good works. That is not what the Bible says. And there are many reasons, many substantial reasons, for any seeker of truth to believe what the Bible says. And when we believe what the Bible says, then we see very clearly that it talks about an exclusive one way to God, not many. Praise the Lord. And we should be full of joy that the Lord Jesus Christ has made himself known to us and that we are following him. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are full of joy that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour, and that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you and praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving the Lord Jesus Christ. He is precious to us. Thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we ask that there be opportunities in our life to speak to others of the necessity for them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and for them to come to Christ. Lord, we commit ourselves to being open to you as you reveal opportunities to us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen.